This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and we begin again along the Gulf Coast as crude oil from that ruptured oil well now 44 days ago is infecting more of the coastline of Louisiana. It's also being felt close to Mississippi and Alabama, and now Florida officials say that that crude could be hitting the beaches within the next couple of days. The risky effort to contain the nation's worst oil spill hit another snag today, as a Diamond Edge saw got stuck on a pipe related to that blown-out well. Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen, who's in charge of the government's response to this disaster, said the goal for most of the day was to free the saw and finish the cut later. This is the latest attempt after several failed different methods of trying to contain this leak. The best chance at stopping the leak, of course, overall is a relief well, but that might not be done for another 2 months, which is why the government estimates this flow into the Gulf could last until August. Right now, Admiral Allen says, quote, "I don't think the issue is whether or not we can make the second cut. It's about how fine we can make it, how smooth we can make it. Some have said that if the cut is not that smooth, then it's going to be hard to get a tight-fitting cap on the well right now. The cut-and-cap effort could temporarily increase the flow of oil into the Gulf by about 20%, although Allen said that he wouldn't know whether that would happen until after the cut actually happens. Meanwhile, President Obama and Vice President Biden today hitting the road in the Northeast, once again touting their response to the economic crisis in this country. Both with President Obama in Pennsylvania, as well as Vice President Biden in the shadow of the Brooklyn Bridge, they said their stimulus program is a great success. It's responsible for saving or creating millions of jobs, and they say it's a shining example of the right way to respond to an economic crisis. President Obama even invoking the biblical analogy of making sure you build your house on the rock rather than on the sand. But of course, a huge debate continues to rage with Democrats like those in the White House saying that the situation will be far worse than if the stimulus package had never been approved. Critics say that the president and his Democratic allies in Congress spent nearly $800 billion and don't have really any new jobs to show for it. They say the White House promised an unemployment rate of no higher than 8% if the stimulus got passed in a prompt fashion, which it was. Of course, right now, the overall unemployment rate stands at 9.9%. There have been consecutive months, though, of positive job growth. The numbers for the month of May will be released on Friday. But as for the nation's overall fiscal health, it's not in good condition. Budgetary expert and prolific author Martin Gross was my guest earlier today, and he says that we are looking at a debt crisis that will make the Greek debt crisis look like child's play in just 3 years unless massive spending cuts are made. He says the government is not being honest about the true extent of government spending, and soon our percentage of GDP as it relates to the deficit will be right where Greece was just a short time ago. To hear my full conversation with Mr. Gross, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. In other news, politicians in three different states are either celebrating or licking their wounds after intra-party primaries in Alabama, Mississippi, and in the state of New Mexico. Most of the eyes were on Alabama, where Democratic Congressman-turned-Republican Parker Griffith for the first time tried to advance on the Republican side of the ballot. It didn't work. Madison County Commissioner Mo Brooks, also a favorite of the Tea Party, led Griffith 51% to just 33%, with some 93% of the precincts reporting. That means if that holds up, Mr. Brooks will not even need to face a runoff. He will be the Republican nominee in a district that looks very favorable for the Republican Party come November. In another critical race, Democratic Congressman Arthur Davis was seeking to become the first black governor in the state of Alabama, but he won't even become the Democratic nominee. Davis was soundly defeated by State Agricultural Commissioner Ron Sparks. With 92% of the vote in, Sparks led Davis by a commanding 63 to 37%. On the Republican side, it was a very crowded field, and there will be a runoff. Right now, one of those in the runoff looks to be former State Senator Bradley Byrne, who got 26% of the vote. Seems to be a photo finish for second place between Tim James, the son of former Governor Fob James, as well as State Representative Robert Bentley. James gained some notoriety during the campaign by taking out a television ad in the wake of the Arizona immigration debate, saying Alabama's driver's license exam should only be given in English. The fact there's a photo finish for second means that former Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore will not be the Republican nominee for governor this year. In New Mexico, Susana Martinez, a tough-on-immigration district attorney, won the Republican nomination over a crowded field of primary opponents, Martinez seems to have won 51% of the vote, meaning she won't need a runoff. It is believed by some that a late endorsement by Sarah Palin made a big difference in that primary. In Mississippi, one of the top Republican targets is the 1st District in that state, where Democrat Travis Childress currently holds the seat. And he will have a Republican opponent in State Senator Alan Nunnally, who won 52% of the vote. Nunnally, one of the few candidates championed by the establishment Republican Party, easily outpacing his nearest opponent, who had just 33% of the vote. Overseas, Israel not backing down at all after the controversy erupted and the international community roundly condemning Israel for the commandos that raided a supposed humanitarian ship off the coast of Gaza on Monday. Israel says this was not a love ship, it was a hate ship, and the Israeli military responded how it had to. They have reported now that at least 40 of the passengers on that ship are affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Hundreds were taken off the ship and eventually deported over the next couple of days. Several of them, of course, were also killed. For more insight on this story, please head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org and catch my interview with retired Israeli Brigadier General Elihu Ben-Non, who puts it right out there. He says, if you are condemning Israel for its actions in this raid, you cannot also say that you oppose terrorism. Very interesting comments from General Ben-Non. Please check that out at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While there, you can also catch my interview with former Ohio Secretary of State Ken Blackwell, who is out with a new book called The Blueprint, in which he claims President Obama is trying to build an imperial presidency. One other overseas note, and that's the Japanese Prime Minister Yukio Yatoyama resigned on Wednesday following a bitter battle over the relocation of a United States airbase on Okinawa that has dominated headlines in that country for months. Hatoyama had sided with residents initially, who have been upset with the noise and pollution from the airbase, which, of course, the U.S. has held there since after World War II. Supporters wanted the base to stay for the jobs that it created. Last week, everything changed for the prime minister because shortly following South Korea's claim that North Korea had torpedoed one of their ships in neighboring waters, Tokyo agreed to allow the base to remain on Okinawa. And that change of heart by the prime minister sent his approval ratings into the tank in Japan, and he resigned his post today. That's a look at Wednesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.